Good morning. Thank you, Don, for that welcome, and thank you all for being here. It's great to be back in Oxford and here in St. Aldate's, though I confess I had this sense of total disorientation when I walked in here. I've just got a new pair of spectacles. I'm wearing varifocals for the first week ever, and I thought, the specs can't be that bad. But last time I was here, of course, everything was traditional and eastwards. At least, perhaps it's not fair to say that everything in St. Aldate's was traditional. I don't think it's ever been that. But it was the normal way around. And so I'm just kind of getting used to this space. But it is very good to be back with Wycliffe and with Regent. And as Don said, I've spent many happy hours in both places. Indeed, I am what in America is called an alum of Wycliffe, though that was a very long time ago. And Regent has long been one of my favorite places in North America. But I'm very glad to have this chance to share with you some of the work which is growing out of the big book I wrote on the resurrection not long ago, and to take a little bit further arguments I've advanced in various places, and I hope to encourage you in a vision of Christian discipleship which grows directly out of the resurrection of Jesus and gives to all Christian life a perspective which, though it's obviously there in the New Testament, is not always appreciated or appropriated, even, dare I say, by those who officially at least take the Bible as their rule of faith and life. Now, I'm going to be talking quite directly in many parts of today's lectures from the New Testament, and indeed a bit from the Old, and it would help if you could at least see a text as we go along. I'm sure I don't need to tell you to bring Bibles, and it's too late now anyway because you can't go home and get them, but I hope you'll be able, if you haven't got one, at least to look over. Just a word about the shape of the day, and then a further word about the shape of this first lecture. The three lectures come at the same question of creation and new creation from three different angles. In this first one, we're going to look at this theme as it emerges from the Gospels and Acts, not least from the resurrection narratives themselves. And my underlying argument here is that the Gospels and Acts are conscious of telling the story not just of Jesus and his first followers and what happened to them, not even just of Israel, whose story was reaching its climax, but of the whole creation and of judgment and renewal. And the resurrection of Jesus, say the evangelists, was not an isolated one-off miracle, nor was it simply a way of pioneering a new route into a blissful life after death. It was both the beginning of and the source of the new creation, which will one day liberate and renew the entire created order. And that leads to the second lecture, in which I shall look at the New Testament's big picture of new creation, not least from Romans 8, the end of Revelation. And I shall do so in dialogue with two broad traditions, which I take to be demonstrably misleading, though very popular. And I shall show in passing that this big picture of new creation provides the appropriate context in which to talk about such controversial things as a second coming, though I won't have time to go into that in any detail, alas, today. I should say that my understanding of how today works is that we've got three lecture slots, and I shall use most of the time in those three, but then there is a Q&A slot at the end of the day. So if you've got really burning questions, there might be just a minute or two at the end of each lecture, but basically save them up and then we'll have a full Q&A when we're done with the three lectures. Then the third lecture will focus on the present vocation of every Christian, the life that grows out of Easter, the life which we are invited, indeed summoned, to put on and make fully our own. And I shall be looking at three areas in particular: spirituality and justice and beauty.